The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Today I want to talk about overcoming fear. Fear in any area of your life. Fear that is holding you back. Fear that is stopping you from doing what God has told you to do. Even stupid fears. You don't have to live in fear. Let's start with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 John chapter 4, 17 and 18. In this union and communion with Him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face Him. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fears out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Growing up, I was afraid of a lot of things. You know, kid fears, different things. As a teenager, had other fears. Speaking in front of large crowds. So, the Lord can help you with any one of your fears. You don't have to live with nervousness, with fretting, with worrying. There's quite a different number of phobias. Quite hundreds of them that the world has classified, you know. And so people take these phobias. I have this phobia, I have that phobia. And they take ownership of it, you know. And like, my personality, please do not tell me your phobia. Because then you're afraid of frogs. I'm going to want to dump a frog on you or something, you know. Just like, why? Why do you even accept that? Like, just push through with the Word of God. Just... you bold as a lion, hallelujah. And it's silly, it doesn't really affect much, but what if, you know, the Lord has you lead a frog salesman to Jesus and you're terrified to go in the store? You never know, you never know. Why live with that bondage? There's some funny fears. There's nomophobia, fear of being without a cell phone. How many of you here have suffered from that, you know, phobia? You know, when it's not, your hand starts jittering. And you don't have to live with that. How about hippopotamonstrosesquipedaliophobia? That's a fear of long words. I think they did that one as a joke. But I'm sure someone out there is afraid of it. Somebody's going to claim that. So somewhere in the world, they're not going to be able to say the phobia name. They're just going to be able, you know. Don't have to live with it. Euphobia, a fear of good news. Imagine being terrified of good news. Hey, you just won the lottery. It's terrible. That there's a check in the mail. It's ridiculous. And it is. And that's why. There's a phobia, which is fear of phobias. So as I've been talking to you, you are terrified right now. I don't know. Press into the Lord. Hallelujah. Glossophobia, is the fear of public speaking. So there's a lot of fears that they've classified, but really, fear is fear. Fear of anything is not God's plan for your life. You should not go through life accepting all these, you know, weird things about yourself that don't line up to the Word of God. Are there any good fears? No? How many of you know a fear of sharks? Let me put things into perspective for you. So, how many of you are afraid of sharks? Like, I know I've been talking about how, you know, don't be afraid of whatever, but how many of you are genuinely afraid of sharks? Like, you're scared of the ocean, you don't want to go swimming, you know, because of that, you don't like snorkeling, you know, I went snorkeling with my wife on our honeymoon, and she saw a rock and bolted, man. It was hilarious. Hilarious. But her immense fear and her, like, that was something, and I was starting to believe it myself. So, hey. But they kill 4 people a year, 4 to 6, generally. So, if you put that into perspective, vending machines kill about 4 people a year. Is that a good fear to walk around with? You know, I'd be really scared. Where are my chips? And then it falls on them, you know. My Snickers bar! Give it to me. No. You don't really see that fear going around as much. And yet it's just as deadly. Okay. Constipation. 144 people a year die from constipation. I don't see too many people running to the Walgreens, downing bottles of X-Lax, you know, in stark terror. Keep things moving. You don't see that. How many of you ever seen that? And yet, it is a lot more deadly than a fear that a lot of people have. It's perspective. Just look at it, perspective. Falling out of your bed. 692 people die every year, just waking up in the morning, and just, and then they're gone. Somebody out there is going to be like, I'm sleeping on the floor. That's not the intended effect, is to get over fear, not generate them. So, I mean, you're 86 more times likely to die falling out of your bed than get eaten by a shark. So, you can have these fears. And it's pretty funny when you think about it like that. But God never intended us to have all these fears, all these worries, all these nervousness. Now, a lot of Christians, they don't deal with all these strange fears. But there are other fears that you can deal with, that you're battling. And the Lord wants you to deliver you. Now, when I talk about fear, I'm also not talking about being stupid. There is such thing as common sense. There is such thing as a healthy respect for things. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not, well, Kenneth told me to go stand in the middle of the highway, face my fear of semi-trucks. No, I did not tell you to do that. I did not. Because there's a good chance, pretty high statistically, that you will get hit. Okay. We went to this lion park and in South Africa. And they had, the guy had like a ton of lions, some other cats, other type of cats. So we go in and he's telling us there's an 18-month-old lion, which I don't know if you've ever seen a lion in person, but they are huge. Like you think, oh, Lion King, no, it's like a cat. No, they're massive. They're like hundreds and hundreds of pounds of pure muscle. And they don't really show fear. I don't know if you noticed that. Like they're not a scaredy cat. It's not like a house cat running away. So we go in and he says, you know, don't show fear. You can't show fear. You can't, because, you know, something might happen if you try run, bolt, you know, prey instinct come after you. So you have to remain, have you sit on the ground, and this 18-month-old male lion just comes and just like bowls you over. Like he literally just walks right over you, gives you a big lick with a massive sandpaper tongue, you know, up the side of your face. You know, if you were gonna freak out, you'd be freaking out. But as long as you didn't show fear and you were just like, okay, I guess we're doing this now, we're going down, you'll be fine. Everything was fine. Now, common sense, he said, okay, well, I have some other older lions, and they obviously have more testosterone, more of everything. They're bigger, they're stronger, and they're behind a fence. And don't go in the fence, only I can go in the fence because they know me. Well, I'm not going to say, well, I'm afraid of lions. Stuff you. I'm going to go do it. Jump the fence. That's stupid. That's not the Lord telling you to you know, face your fears. A lot of people, you know, I don't know. And then you have people who are just, I don't know, brainless and do stupid things. Get out of their car at Kruger National Park and take photos of all the animals, you know, right there. There's a lot of stuff in Africa that can kill you. But you don't have to fear them. The Lord's with you. Common sense. Go through life. But you don't living with this fear. You're not dwelling on it. You're not letting it impact your life in any measurable way. That's not the Lord's plan. Hallelujah. Lack of fear does not mean faith. So, again, what I'm talking about, just because you don't fear something doesn't mean you're in faith about something. I think a lot of people also get that confused. It's like, well, I don't fear anything. I'm a man of God walking in faith. Maybe not. If you don't have real faith. So what areas of these fears kind of really apply to Christians? A lot of it is your finances. So you're scared of when that next bill is due. You might feel terror walking out to your mailbox. You know, what bill's in here now? I feel nervous, you know, is my pay gonna hit? Checking your bank account. Man, I'm running out of the electricity this month. I'm scared to see that bill. Some people are even scared to budget because they're just scared to look at their finances. They'd rather just ignore it. God wants you to face things head on. How about yourself? You fear bodily harm. Do you not want to go, again, common sense, in the ghetto and win people to Jesus because you're afraid of something might happen. And yet, the creator of the universe lives on the inside of you. Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to you? What is the worst thing that you could think of? You die? Oh no, I'm in heaven. It's great. So why are you worrying? Why are you fretting? Why are you spending an ounce of your mental capacity and also your physical capacity? Because fear, when you train your brain, it has actually a physical response. You get panic attacks, anxiety attacks, and you've let stress and fear and all these things overtake your life and get a real big foothold. This generation, I'm triggered by that, you know. Getting triggered right now, I can't believe it. And they have all these triggers that set them off. Get free. That's bondage. That's of the devil. That's the devil's plan. You should be able to be self-sufficient in any situation. That also means bold in any situation. So free yourself of that stuff by renewing your mind with the Word of God, by believing what He says rather than what the world says. Hallelujah. You can be afraid for your family. You can be so nervous by your kids, you know. Well, can't fall off a swing. They might hurt themselves. You can be like panic attack, you know. Parental protection is quite strong. But you have to put them in the hands of the Lord. You have to pray and believe God that every day they are walking in the will of God and they have the hand of protection on them and their angels will be about them as a wall of fire, always bearing them up lest they dash their foot against a stone. So that's not a godly fear. Put them in the protection of the Lord where they can't be touched. Don't be bound by fear in any situation. Don't let it be your decision maker. Don't let it affect any decision you make. Fear should not come into place. It's not the Christian walk. It's the flesh walk. You're afraid of other people's expectations of you, what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. Fear of man. Don't let it affect your life. Break it off today. Today. Hallelujah. Turn to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry. Oh, that bill's due tomorrow. Don't worry. Oh, I have a court case. Don't worry. Oh, that speeding ticket I got is due tomorrow. They're going to take my life. Don't worry. Take care of it, but don't worry. Believe. See, you don't have to be afraid of something to get something done. If fear is your motivator, then flesh is your motivator. The Lord knows. The Lord knows. Every need you have, cast your cares on Him. Don't let your flesh be the driving force in your life. That will lead to destruction. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What hidden fear that you might not even realize? You're going along, and you're like, I don't want to touch that. Is that fear stopping you from changing? Stopping you from listening to the voice of God? Really ask today, God, show me where these hidden fears are that's actually blocking me. I don't even know I'm afraid of it, and I actually am. He will show you. And then you attack it head on. And the world's way, they have a lot of techniques and breathing exercises. And, you know, hold your breath, count to 10 type stuff. Which, you know, if you don't have the power of God, I guess that works. But He can eliminate that fear right now. In one instant. He can rewire your brain right now. In an instant. He can heal you of that hurt you've been dealing with and the fear of being hurt again. How can you have those walls up because of fear? Remember, what can man do to me? Yeah. Nothing. You know, Japanese society, and it's prevalent all over the world, but the Japanese actually have a word for this. It's called hikikimori. And it's when, you know, I guess their Japanese scientific definition is when, like, you've been living in your house for 6 months or more without any outside interaction. You're a recluse. You're shut in. You don't want to talk to people. You don't want to go outside. And a lot of these people are afraid of not living up to Japanese society expectation, which is quite high. As a society, they demand a lot. If you go over there and you're overweight, you might get poked in the belly. Like, hey, what's this? They do that. It's like accepted. So they have yearly things where a corporation, They come in. The state comes in and weighs everybody's waistline. You know, and if corporations have overweight people, they punish the corporation. They, you know, with their entrance exams in schools, it's crazy. And then the job, so even on the job, like if you're not putting in 90 hours of work a week, you're not working. But the fact is they only have 40 hours of work to do, so the rest of the time, they're just there. They're afraid of getting fired, afraid of losing their job. It's like, they need Jesus, hallelujah. And like it's okay, it's acceptable to fall asleep at your desk because you're working so hard. So everything's about appearances and everything like that. So these people that, you know, they see this and they literally can't handle anymore. They're terrified of not living up to their family's expectations, their everything. So they literally lock themselves away. What have you locked away inside yourself? You might not be hiding at home, but you're locked up mentally. And it's affecting you even physically. Cast every burden, every weight, every anxiety, every worry on Him. He can bear it. You can't. It's not God's plan for you to fear anything. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursues them, but the uncompromisingly righteous are as bold as a lion. I have a first-hand experience of the boldness of a lion, a young lion. He was pretty bold. He walked right into me, knocked me over. I didn't see it cowering, you know, in the corner somewhere. It just walked out. Didn't care. I'm a lion. Why are we letting man determine our words, our actions? God should be determining that. The word of God should be determining that. Should have no place in your life. Anything holding you back. Get free. He said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Fear will always hold you back. In your personal life. Fear of taking the next step in your career. Fear of whatever. Thousands of different phobias. It's still fear. And it still has no place in your life. What about your business life? What are you scared to do in your business? Take that next risk, you might lose it all. Well, if the Lord told you to do it, what are you afraid of? What can man do to you? What's the worst that could happen? Why are you letting that thing occupy any brain cycles you might have, any thoughts you have? Cast it down. No place. It's not yours. It's not your phobia. It's the devil's. He's afraid. He's very afraid. In your family life, fear of finding that spouse, you know, a lot of young guys, older guys, they're afraid of not marrying the one, or afraid they might marry the wrong one and be stuck with her for the rest of their life. As a child of God, your steps are ordered. You follow Him. He tells you what to do. He shows you what to do. Put yourself out there. If you're past RBI 2, right? You can work out so many different things in your mind in different situations and different things. And I know I'm preaching out of experience here. I'm probably the most analytical, you know, I can't even say that because my mind's telling me, no, it's probably somebody else more analytical than you can. I get stuck in my mind so much. I had to break free of that. Had to take a leap of faith. When I first started, even, you know, working here, I'd try, like, imagine every scenario for how this meeting's going to go. You know, never did, never went the way I went it, where I thought it would go. It was always different. I just wasted so much time thinking about that, worrying about that, being nervous about that. I should have just let the anointing flow through me in the moment. The anointing can flow through you in the moment. Don't worry about tomorrow. Today is happening right now. It's passing you by. Some people have a fear of children. We're gonna get pregnant, and then this baby's gonna come, and our lives are over. Can't do anything anymore. I'm afraid I won't be able to do anything. Just raise a baby. Stuck at home. How could you be afraid of that? Come on. Can we get a camera shot on that? Yeah. I gotta do this. She's so beautiful. Get a close up of her face. She's sleeping. Afraid of this? It's just selfishness. People are. Some people. Afraid of the responsibility it's going to take on their life. Afraid of the commitment. Afraid of the finances it's going to take to raise the kid. Afraid of the college tuition at the end of 18 years. The Lord knows. He has a plan for your life. Trust Him. Fear is really based in the self-preservation of the flesh. Anytime you feel a fear, you're trying to preserve something with your own hand. You're trying to control it. trying to take it into your own power and say, I'm actually the master of this, so I'm responsible for this. But no, you're not. You're bought with a price. Bought with a price. You are not your own. Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather be afraid of him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Have a healthy respect for that. Are you afraid of losing comfort? Flesh likes to be comforted. I gave some examples in the bulletin. If you give that car, you're going to have to ride a bike. Well, you know, you might drop a few pounds. It's actually a plus. You really drop pounds if you like work in Clearwater or something, you know. What's the worst that can happen? Don't worry. Don't worry about the small things. Worry about the food you're going to eat, clothes you're going to wear. Lord knows. Fear of losing capability. Some people hoard treasure in their bank account because they're afraid to make loose of it, afraid to loose that donkey because they might want to ride it tomorrow. So it stops them. It restrains them. It changes their actions. The Lord's telling them to do one thing, and they do the other. Fear of man. What will people think of me if I put myself out there to win someone to Jesus? We can't ever let the fear of man come into play. Don't ever let the fear of man come into play. Don't ever say, oh, what are they going to think of me? They probably don't. They probably don't think about you. Statistics show you think about you and everybody else thinks about themselves. So it really, that thing you did 3 years ago at that social event that you're still thinking about, that was like really embarrassing. Nobody remembers it. Nobody remembers it. And if they do, they're just teasing you and they love you anyway. Tease my wife. She doesn't like it, but I love her. My wife was so afraid of roller coasters. And when she dated me, she pushed through, though. She got on the roller coaster with me. But as soon as we were married, then she, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And it really bothered me. Again, I'm like, you have this fear. We got to get over it. Can't live in fear. So I worked a whole plan. I prayed to the Lord. Got a solution. It's been a vacation at Disney. She got over a freezer roller coasters. She still doesn't like them. But now it's different. She's not afraid of them. It's okay to not like something. Don't let that fear hold you back in any area. It has an effect. It even changes the way you think. If you accept a fear here, where else are you accepting flesh to come into your life? So how do you get rid of fear? How do you achieve confidence? Renew your mind. Read your Bible. Read every scripture that deals with fear, overcoming, boldness. Meditate on it. Let the power of God come and touch you. And get rid of that sin that's hidden in your life. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What things that you know are sin in your life that are causing you, maybe I have this hidden sin, maybe I'm stepping out of the will of God. So maybe then it introduces fear. Deal with that so you can have confidence before God and man. I want every head bowed and eyes closed right now. You know, there are three categories of people here today. Those that have never given their hearts to Jesus. I want to say to you, come as you are right now. You cannot save yourself before you come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and he will save you. Come with all your fears, all your doubts, all your disbelief. Come to him. He will change your life. He will save you. Surrender yourself. He loves you just as you are and stands with arms wide open. What would happen if your life was cut short unexpectedly? What would happen if you were to die today? As a Christian, I'm not afraid of that. As an unbeliever, you better be afraid. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like the old song said, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The power of sin, guilt, and shame will be removed off of your life. Your life will be changed. He loves you. He stands with arms wide open. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He calls you today. Will you surrender? Maybe you come here today. You gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You've gotten relaxed. You've let that fire burn out in your life. Perhaps you were once on fire for God, but you've lost that joy, the peace, the passion that you once had. You don't even know how to get it back. Or maybe you were hurt. But today, God calls you. He says, come back. Come back to your first love. Fall in love with Jesus all over again. Surrender to him afresh. He calls you. Will you surrender to him? Will you surrender your life to him? He loves you so much. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. It's hidden fears, those hidden sins. Hallelujah. People don't know. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. But he says, today I will make you, I will take out the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit I will put within you. Will you say, Lord, here I am? Come, I come just as I am. He loves you so much today. Maybe it's not something hidden. Maybe it's something outward, and the enemy keeps you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of the things that have happened in your life. I want you to know that the devil is a liar. And God is the God of a new beginning. a second chance. He says, come. Will you surrender to him afresh? He calls you today and loves you. Maybe it's not hidden or outward. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened and it rocked your world. You don't even know how to get it back. But you say today, I'm going to come back. I'm coming back to my first love. He loves you. And then lastly, you are in this place. You love the Lord. That's not even a question. But you're not sure of your salvation. And the devil is always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today, you want to make sure. Today, you want to know that you know that you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are a child of God. If this is you, right where you are, quickly put your hand up. Put your hand up, say, Jesus, I'm coming back to you. I'm giving you my life. Don't let fear stop you from raising your hand. Make that decision today. Put your hand high. Say, today is my day of freedom and liberty. Make that proclamation. He has so much to give you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, put all your hands down, please. And I want those that raise their hands to stand. Hallelujah. And I want this section, if you did not raise your hands already and you still feel like you want to give your heart to Jesus, raise your hands right now. Raise them up. Hallelujah. In this section, please, God is calling you. Raise your hands right now and stand. And in this section, if you did not raise your hand already, please. The Lord has so much He wants to give you. And I want you to come down to the front right now. I'm going to pray with you. Hallelujah. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Hallelujah. It starts today. Your new life. Tell you right now that if you mean business with God, God means business with you. So I'm going to lead you in a little prayer. I want you to raise your right hand and close your eyes and repeat after me. Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus, Lord, is my Savior. And I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that in the third day you rose again for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I will never be the same again. I confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you would come even now, that you would seal them by your blood and by your Spirit, that on that day not one of them would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.